So I said, let's do it again. And Brenda offered to take her Mother's Day and invest in you guys. I know she's got an awesome message for us. She's been a great mother. She's been a great example. So please welcome Mother Brenda to the podium as she comes and gives the message today. God bless you, Mother Brenda.
Thank you. Well, what an awesome day to be here, and there's nothing I've enjoyed more in life than being a mother. My motherhood is transitioning. All our boys, we have four sons, they're grown now, and so we're having to take a step back, and we're in awe of all the things that God is doing through them as they're adults now, and they have beautiful wives and grandchildren. Well, Miss Amber has some adorable assistants hiding somewhere. They have gifts. There's a scripture that's found throughout the Bible. It's called honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And that's found throughout scripture. There's several references. It's very important to God that we be good parents, that we be good mothers. So if you're a mom today, would you please stand up? We want to honor you. Give them a hand clap. What a beautiful bunch of folks. So we're on the lookout for our young people. Somebody take a peek in here and see if they're ready to come out. My daughter-in-law, Jessica, has made you a beautiful soap bouquet. We're calling it the Mother's Day Gator Bouquet, and you'll see why. Those of you who aren't gators, I'm sorry. You'll have to get over it. But and she donated those today. She does such a great job with it. Well, I don't know where they are. You guys have a seat. When they come in, I'll call you again. We'll stand up and we'll honor you with that. Oh, here we go. All right. So stand up again so they know who you are. Come on in, kids. Welcome to the big church. Come on in and if you see somebody standing, give them a soap and a flower. Here you go. Everybody grab a flower and take it to somebody. It's okay if you don't give it to your mom. Just make sure everybody gets one. Thank you. Well, if you didn't get any notes, when you came in the door, we have notes that you can follow along with. You can hold your hands up, and the ushers will get that to you if you need it to follow along with me this morning. And today I'm going to share with you the testimony of my mother, how she became a Christian, and how God used people right here in Victory Church to fulfill the prayers of my own grandmother, somebody that I've never yet to meet. I'll get to meet her in heaven. But when I was growing up, I know it's busy, so follow along. Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you, children. Everybody give them a hand. Now, when I was growing up, my parents didn't get along very well. In fact, they fought most of the time that I remember. But they were excellent parents, and they fought to give us things that are better than them. That's kind of funny. They fought and fought to give us better things. But it's sad, really, because when I look back at them, and Carl and I do some marriage counseling, I see that if they had just worked a little bit on their relationship and their communication, they could have been very happy. Thank you, sweetheart. That's my beautiful granddaughter. And if they had just worked on their communication a little bit, they could have gotten along. But, you know, after 25 years of stormy marriage, they divorced while I was in college. And it was right around the time that I became a Christian. And so my mother gave me quite a hard time those first 2 years that I was a Christian. And it was funny because I had heard that my grandmother was a very devout Christian. She was actually saving money for my mother to go to Nazarene Missionary School. But tragically, she died when my mother was just 12 years old. And my mother, what happened was that blood transfusions were kind of a new thing back then, and they gave her the wrong kind of blood, and so she died from it. And so my mother was the oldest of five children, and here she was suddenly with four younger siblings, and one of them was a newborn. So she had to grow up very quickly. I have a picture of her. She's actually a real cutie, I think. And she wasn't very old in this picture. That lipstick makes her look older. She's only like 14 or 15 in this picture. But my grandfather was so devastated when his wife died. and he turned to drinking, and he was pretty much useless for their family for quite a while. And so my mom and her brother, they quit school and they went to work in the cotton mills that were there in the Lynette, Alabama area. And so, you know, they suffered all kind of hardships that they went through. It was very difficult for them. And during that time, my mother remembered people from her church coming in and taking belongings out of their house, like blankets and furniture and dishes. And she had great resentment built up in her heart about it because she didn't understand what was going on. You know, she's just 12 years old. And so she hid that from me for many years. I didn't even realize it, but when I went off to college and I became a Christian, I called her. I was so excited, like, I found Jesus, you know? And she was like, oh, my gosh. She was so upset and distressed, and it shocked me. I was like, man, I thought you'd be happy, you know? I'm getting my life right, and I'm living good. But no, she was very upset about it. And she started, in fact, that night to launch a campaign to rescue me from being a Christian. So, you know, to her, churchgoers, because of what had happened, you know, with her family, she thought they were all liars and thieves, you know, and that was her impression of them. So she loved me, and she didn't want me to be taken in by that. And so one of the things that she did, the first thing she did was in her divorce agreement, she and Dad had decided that she would help me with food costs while I was in school. And so as a punishment, she took that away, you know, right away, saying, you know, if you're not going to stop doing this, you know, I'm not going to give you money for food. So I went out and got a job so I could eat. And when that didn't work, she took me and had me see different leaders to be psychoanalyzed. She took me to psychologists and all these older men. And it was really hard on me because I was a very shy person back then. And so, but it was good for me because God was growing me up at an early age to give an account of my faith, you know, to stand up. And amazingly, I won all the analysts over that she had me go see. And finally, she was so distressed that she took a last-ditch effort, and she sent in her ex-husband, my dad, to come in and rescue me. And so he came to a few of our meetings, and he ended up getting saved, just like I did. And so, yeah, give God a hand for that. And so my mother was not happy, of course, about that, but at least, thankfully, she stopped sending me people, you know, and having me grilled, you know, about it. And so one of the leaders that I met during that time wisely encouraged me to be very tender and loving with my mother, even though she was giving me a hard time. And I really listened to that, and I took that to heart. And so one night, it was the night before I was going to go to my very first Christian conference. I was so excited about it, and I happened to be staying with my mother that night. And so she had me in what my brother and I call the death grip. She was clutching me in her arms, and she was just pleading with me not to go. She was just so afraid that bad things were going to happen. She goes, you're going to be brainwashed. And so I thought to myself, you know, well, my brains are dirty anyway. They need washing. So I was excited about going, you know. But I told her, you know, my neck and my shoulder were drenched with her tears. She was just so desperate, pleading with me not to go. And so she worked on me all night practically about not going. And she had me so afraid of the things they were going to do to me. I don't know where she came up with all these stories of what they were going to do to me. But it turns out it was one of the most amazing experiences I'd ever been to. And it really set my course. Any blessings you see in my life occurred at that conference. It set me on the course to do great things for God. And while I was there, I didn't realize it, but God gave me a vision. I was a new believer, and I saw myself in a deep, dark pit, and this large hand reached in and pulled me out into the light, and it was God giving me a new chance. You know, he rescued me from my family, and when I was writing these notes, I realized that was God answering the prayers of my grandmother, and that he had pulled me out, and he was going to, even though, can you imagine if I hadn't gone to that conference, if I had listened to my mother, it didn't change. I don't know where I would be. You know, I had to choose. And I told my mother that night, you know, please don't make me choose between you and God, because I have to do what God told me to do. And so I went, and I'm so thankful I did. And, you know, in her final years, my mother came to live with us. She was very ill, and many of you met her here. And she was a type 1 diabetic. So I learned to manage her blood sugar. I gave her 3 to 4 shots of insulin a day, and I took her to numerous doctor visits. It was like a full-time job. Carl and Our sons were so understanding. It was, you know, turns your world upside down, but it's, you're so glad you do it. I'm so thankful, you know, that we did that for her. And one day, while I was making breakfast, that incident came up in her mind, and she spoke it out to me, you know, about people coming in her home and taking their possessions, and she just didn't understand it. And you see, for the first time in her life, she was around us enough to see the love in our family and see the blessings on our family. And she was really struggling with what she thought she had seen as a little girl happening, you know, with people from the church. And so at that moment, God just dropped a thought in my head. You know, the Bible calls it a word of knowledge. And while I was serving her eggs to her that morning, it just came right out of my mouth. I said, "Mom, don't you think your dad was selling those items and those people thought they were helping you?" And her face just went pale. And she sat there, and I could tell she was having a real moment with God. And she realized she'd been wrong all these years. And so, as God would have it, in those days, Rebecca was over the music team at church. See, that was the big thing, trying to get my mother to come to church. And so at that time, there were a couple songs that I would play along with the harmonica and accompany it. And so I knew that if I mentioned that to my mother, I could probably get her to come to church. So sure enough, Rebecca was nice. We played it like every couple of weeks, you know. Try to get my mother into church. And so she loved me so much, she wanted to see me play that harmonica. It was funny. And so what was cool is, like, I would see her at the end of the meeting when Pastor Bill would pray. She would pray along with him, you know, for the prayer of salvation. And I knew if she kept coming, she kept doing that, it was going to happen. You know, and even one Sunday, to my pleasant surprise, Pastor Bill, you were walking by her, and she asked you to pray for her hand. I don't know if you remember that. But she had a large, swollen area on her hand. It was from using her cane, and it was very painful. She'd been to a number of doctors, and they were just perplexed as to what it was. So the very next day after you prayed for her, I took her to a new doctor. He knew right away what it was, and he just took a needle and drained it, and the pain was gone instantly. And my mother was so tickled, and it came out of her mouth. She said, "God heard that prayer." And it was like a life-changing transformation. You know, I was so excited, you know, to hear that. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for praying for her. And thank you, everybody, you know, that ministered to my mother. I honor her today because she's in heaven. My dad's in heaven. They're both cheering us on, you know, from heaven. I'd like to give the Lord a clap offering for that. God's so good, don't give up. You know, my mother was in her 70s when she finally came to know God and know his love for her. So let's look at Proverbs 22:6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And the great thing is we never stop being children of God. We never stop growing. And God never stops, you know, teaching us new things about him. So this morning, I just wanted to share a couple of mothering tips with you. Tip one in your notes, it says, how do we train up a child? Number one, be intentional. Now, that's kind of a catchphrase lately. Everybody's saying it, be intentional. But I really like it. And I wish, in fact, you know, that I had been more intentional about being intentional. And I intend to be more intentional for the rest of my life. But if you ask my children, they probably thought I was plenty intentional enough. So during college, I have this story that while I was waitressing, this mother came in with her sons, a cute little boy. He was about 10 or 11, and she was having a bad day, and I could tell she had a really, really bad headache, and that's because she told me I have a really bad headache. And so it was interesting to me. I took her order, and her little boy was sitting there, and he was kind of fidgety, and she kept pushing at him and saying, swatting at him, saying, "Stop that, stop that. God doesn't like that. Stop it. God doesn't like that." She said it probably about four times. And I was so grieved. I thought, what does this little boy think about God, you know, her saying that to them? And so anyway, I brought her food. I asked her if I could pray for her headache. I prayed for her, and she felt all the way better before she was even done eating from that meal. And so God heard that prayer. But I thought about that little boy most of my life, really, and I've prayed for him, that he would grow up to know the love of God and that I would see him in heaven one day. I'm really believing for that. But it also made an impact on me with our four sons. It's like you have to watch over their impression of God. Don't tell them things like that. You don't want them to feel that God doesn't like them or he disapproves of them in any way, because he loves us and accepts us. And teach them to run to God. In every situation, whether good or bad, you always run to God, because he loves you and he's excited about whatever you're going through and he's all about it. And so I would also say that you need to be intentional about teaching children to forgive others. And be mindful of where people are currently in their relationship with God. You know, the people that are the grumpiest and the most bitter are the most hurt people. That's for sure. And if you teach your children to look at people like that, they'll be more compassionate, you know, towards them. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And it's important that you impart that to them, to never give up, no matter what's going on in their life. And also, I would say to love and honor truth, because if your children can't trust the things that you say to them, they're going to be seriously challenged in their own relationship with God. So be truthful with your children. There's a way to always tell the truth to them. You may not tell them everything, but you can always tell them the truth. Tip 2, celebrate wins. That's another catchphrase that I like. Now, birthdays are an easy celebration. You know, yay, you're 12. You know, kind of thing. But also, I want to encourage you, especially like at the dinner table, think of good things that your child has done, actions that are character building that they have accomplished, you know, that day, and make dinner and church a safe zone for them, where they come and they're excited about it. They're not going to be accused. They're not going to be corrected during dinner. You can correct them later, but not during dinner. They know that that's a safe zone. It needs to be that way with church, too, because that's your spiritual food that you're getting. And so, you know, it's incredibly easy for parents to fight all the way to church. Have you ever noticed that? You don't want to impart that to your children. You know, button your lip if you have to and just make it fun. You know, our church is in such a beautiful location. You know, you drive through the prairie, any direction is beautiful. Enjoy that time with your family. You know, make it a worship, beginning of worship to God. Thank you, God. It's so beautiful out here. You know, make it a pleasant experience for them. Be mindful of that. Tip 3, minimize struggles, maximize faith in God. You can minimize struggles by facing situations together. And teaching your children that circumstances are subject to change, especially when you apply faith and prayer to it. Also, as a parent, learn to be a good communicator. And you know what? That's one of the great things we help you with here at Victory. When you come here and you serve and you learn how to greet people and welcome them into the building, you're going to use that in everything you do in your life. It makes you a better person. And so come here and, you know, and serve in that way and let God change you, make you be a people person. A lot of people say, I'm not a people person. But you know what? You can be a people person. God can put that in you and give you a love for people. So we encourage you to do that. Ephesians 4:29 has some great advice for us. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You want your words seasoned with grace. Philemon 6:1 reads, and I pray that the fellowship, also communication, of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. God's put a lot of good things in each of us. And what does it say? Who is it for? It's for Christ. You can underline that if you want. I like to underline things. There we go. We also develop our faith in God by practicing thankfulness. Make it a lifestyle. Remember the good things he's done. When you do that, when you remember how God answered that prayer, it builds your faith for the next situation. Don't be scared, you know, of what's going on. Think about, okay, God, you delivered me before. You're going to do it again. Amen. So moving on to our next section, I'm going to surprise Carl, and I'm going to have him come up here and read something. He doesn't know. He didn't know I was going to do this. I'm having him do this because, well, you'll see.
Okay, this is Ephesians 5:25 through chapter 6, verse 4. It says, husbands, love your wives which means seeking the highest good for her and surround her with a caring, unselfish love. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God, so that in turn he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy, which is set apart for God, and blameless. Even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own body, but instead he nourishes and protects and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members or parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined and be faithfully devoted to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery of two becoming one is great, but I'm speaking with reference to the relationship of Christ and the church. Continue. I'm continuing. However, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. And the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband, that she notices him and prefers him and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, that is, accept their guidance and discipline as his representatives. For this is right, for obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline. Honor, which means esteem, value as precious, your father and your mother, and be respectful to them. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment and demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Amen. And that helps us fill in our next blank, which is what a mom needs. And you notice when Carl read that, you didn't see a hint of guilt or anything like that. That's because my husband lives those scriptures, and I'm so proud of him, and I wanted him to share that with you because that should be your goal, you know, as a dad and as a husband, because that's really what your wife needs. And Carl is exactly the husband I need. I know that for sure. Okay, the next fill in the blank is what a mom does. And we're going to be reading out of Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you, my gorgeous darling, excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house and family, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. And then Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, this is like every woman loves to read these scriptures. An excellent wife who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Now, this next part I put in my vows to Carl when we got married. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, I'll admit, I've been a sarcastic stinker sometimes, but I've never been evil towards Carl. I want his good, and he wants mine. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight, picking up socks and shoes, candy wrappers, and other really gross things that nobody wants to pick up. I'm reading from the mom version right now. She is like merchant ships loading up several hungry, sometimes cranky children in the shopping cart at Walmart. Which, if you have four children like I did, the cart weighed about 200 pounds. searching for clothes, soccer cleats, new underwear, and food for the week. She brings food from afar. I always go to the Archer Road one, Publix. It's about 20 miles, you know, coming and going. She starts dinner. She helps with homework. She monitors phone time and runs bath water. You know, when I was growing up, our parents had to watch how much TV we were watching, and we have to watch how much our boys played on the computer, and now it's the phone. They got to watch how much time they're on the phone. She rises also while it's still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maid and soothes fevered brows, potty trains toddlers, massages aches and pains, cleans up barf from floors, bedding, bathrooms. You know, they never make it to the bathroom. So keep a trash can by the bed. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She has yard sales, clearing out old clutter to make room for new stuff and get some good cash, you know, to pay for equipment and, you know, sports equipment and fees. She girds herself with strength. She makes her arms strong, carrying those chubby babies on her hip. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night while strategically placing night lights all around the house to keep those naughty closet and under the bed monsters away. She stretches out her hands to the distaff. Her hand grasps the spindle. She does not hit her husband with it, because that would be evil. I can honestly say I've never struck Carl with a distaff or a spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She makes a pot of soup for a sick friend, and she brings meals to new mothers. She's not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed in scarlet, and moms have plenty of sunscreen and bug spray on hand. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She looks good. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And I'm so proud of Carl. You know, he has twins. He has business and ministry, and he works really hard to keep that balance in our family. Continuing on in verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And that brings us to our last fill in the blank, what a mom wants. Now, I surveyed the mothers, some of the young mothers in our church here, and I left a few blank spaces for you to take notes. You can write it down, dads, if you want to be on the good list today. Okay, here's the first one. My Mother's Day wish would be for my kids to really know how much I treasure and love them. But a clean house and dinner on the table with a big bouquet of roses would be a nice touch. The next one, my Mother's Day wish would be to sleep in and wake up to breakfast and dishes done. The sound of children getting along and picking up their toys would be priceless. My heart's desire to spend the whole day hanging out, talking, laughing, eating, playing outside just to relax, nothing planned sort of day with my family. Oh, and chocolate. Even though I know how important my job is as a mom, it's nice to hear my husband acknowledge his thankfulness for taking care of our child and to offer to give me a break for some me time once in a while. This one says, sleep. More hugs and kisses, less fighting between siblings, more manners and kindness. And everybody can get behind this next one. Hire someone to deep clean our house a few times a year. Woo! And our final one, I definitely appreciate and desire my alone time, time to recharge, not to tend to a little one for a couple of hours, and maybe even have a lovely bath drawn for me. Sugary sweets are also appreciated. So thank you, moms. Those were some great ideas. You notice none of those, other than the cleaning, maybe cost really much money, but they just want to have time and rest. You know, as we, you've probably heard the expression, on earth as it is in heaven, and that's because so many things that we experience on earth here, there's going to be such a greater measure of it in heaven. You know, our biological families, our church families, they all point to a greater family that's in our future. And the last scripture I'm going to share with you today is Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. So I want to encourage you to honor your mom today, and whether she's in heaven or she's here with you, the way you do that is by being the man or woman of God that God created you to be. That's how you honor your mother. That's how you honor your father. Run to God every day of your life. Crawl up in his lap and let him love on you and embrace his adventurous plan for you. It's so exciting to be a Christian. It's never a dull moment. And I charge you to be the change that your family needs. Make that decision and be the answer to your grandmother's prayers, like I was the answer to my grandmother's prayers. And I'm so thankful for all of you that God used you in my mother's life. You know, in closing, I just want to say that there's a place for you to be in your relationship with God, and it's in the center of his will. There's a song we like to sing that God loves like a hurricane, and if you know, you think about it, in the eye of that storm, it's completely peaceful, and there's so much turmoil and junk going on all around you, but if you stay right there with God, he's going to help you through it. And I just want to invite you to do that this morning. Go ahead and put your notes away and let's focus in on what God wants to tell our hearts. You know, one of the many things that Carla and I love about Victory Church is that every week we give people an opportunity not only to pray for salvation in their life, but also to pray to freshen up your relationship with God. Maybe there's some things you're carrying that you really don't need to, that you need to let go. And so we want to do that this morning. You know, I have so many precious memories of my mother raising her hand and praying along with Pastor Bill and that late transition in her life. Thank God it happened. You know, it's never too late. As long as we breathe, God will take us, and he'll love us just as much as if we got saved when we were a child. So today, maybe your life's in turmoil, and I want to pray for you. Let's bow our heads. The Bible tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I can tell you, after 40 years of walking with him, that's true. He's always there. He's always constant. And I just want to pray for you to step into the center of the storm this morning. God, I just lift up everyone in here. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your love, God. I thank you for your acceptance, Lord. It doesn't matter what we've done. You're able to forgive us. You're able to cleanse us. And so, if you just pray with me. First, let me say, if you want to pray that prayer, why don't you lift your hand right now? And I'm going to pray for you all this week. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, please pray along with me. Dear Jesus, whatever I face in life, I need your help. I need your guidance. I give you my heart today. You said you make all things new, and that's what I want. Come into my heart and make me new again. Be my friend. Be my savior. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. And Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Thank you so much.